Namaskar, hello and welcome to Be the Change series. Like every week, this is the special episode of Be the Change series in English, and we've been meeting each other for more than 2 months now, friends, and it's been a lovely journey so far, where each day we are having a deeper and a greater conversation about how we are dealing with the current times. We all understand that we live in challenging times, changing times, and of course testing times as well. And all of us have responded to a different degree of dealing with these changes. And for each one of us, that is what the best that we could do. And yet here we are trying to learn something new every day, trying to better ourselves every day, and trying to change something for better in our lives every day. And that's the sole theme of the Be the Change series, is because during these times of the pandemic, which has taught us a great deal, we are trying to learn more so that we are prepared for anything that comes our way. And in this journey, we have always had a master of meditation who has joined in from one of the different corners of the world. And these have been this precious moments where we could listen to their experiences about how they are dealing with these challenges and how they have helped other people deal with their journeys of life altogether, whether it is this challenging time or not. So without much further ado, I'll start today's program. And today we have a master of meditation who is joining us all the way from South Africa. Today we have Brahmakumari's sister Deepthi, who is joining us from Johannesburg. Deepthi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good.
Sister Deepthi has been a senior meditation faculty with the Brahmakumari's, and currently she serves in South Africa. And at Johannesburg, to be speaking specifically at this point of time, but over several decades of her experience as a teacher and a student of Raja Yoga meditation, thousands have been benefited from her and from the guidance that she has offered on this spiritual journey. She will share her insights and her experiences and offer guidance and wisdom and emotional support, and at times when we think that we need somebody to show us the path, and she will be our light for this evening. So, Sister Deepthi, welcome again to the program. And I would like to start with the first question and to a small message for our friends as well. And since the program is live, friends, you can always ask your questions. So this program is for you to interact with the Masters of Meditation who have joined us today. And like every day, we have a new master, and today's master is Deepthi Didi, who is joining in from South Africa, and you can ask questions to her straight away. And you can type in your questions in the comment section of this video, either on Facebook or YouTube or any other platform that you're watching this video on. You just have to type in questions in the comment section, and that would appear in the feed. And we will pick up questions from there, and we'll ask these questions on the screen. You will see these questions, and we'll ask these questions to Deepthi Didi, who will guide us through this program. Deepthi Didi, the first question comes from Aniket. And Aniket asks this question: how to save ourselves from mobile addiction? And I believe it's not just Aniket's question, it is a question that is plaguing everybody today, because suddenly most of us have gone online. Everything has gone online, and most of us who do not have a computer at our homes have been using the computer, using the cell phone as a computing device as well. So our interaction on the cell phone has increased, and everybody says now that we are addicted to the cell phone, to the mobile. So this question is about Aniket, that how do we deal with this addiction? How can we save ourselves?
Hello, Aniket. I think the question you ask is so relevant in today's times, because as much as we've taken a lockdown from the world because of the circumstances, it's somehow people have become locked in with their phones. It's a very real thing today that we're seeing how people have become more and more supported by their phone device. And we see, because things are happening so dynamically and change in the world is happening so fast, people somehow feel that they need to stay close to their phone or need to know what is happening, because we see every day there's such a great change in the news that happens. But personally, as a yogi, I have found that when the lockdown just began, I also found myself on my phone a lot more often. And I thought, wait a minute, something has to be different here. So I have created boundaries for myself. And I think that those healthy boundaries are very, very important. Because they allow you, firstly, emotional space, mental space, but also physically, to be free from your mobile phone for a while is healthy for your body because of all those waves that are impacting you on such a level. So for me, I find if you are addicted, then let's say you say to yourself that for 2 hours in the day, I will put my phone away and I will really assure myself that that which needs to be heard by me, life will look after me. The phone doesn't have to be the only means through which I can feel secure. And I found like in my day, I would take at least 4 hours where the phone is switched off. When I need to use it, I use it. But for 4 hours a day, I've created a boundary to really just switch it off. And I assure you, it's given me such a beautiful space. I look forward to that space because we have amazing creative ability within each one of us. And given the right space and the right opportunity, you bring out so much of you. And I think today in the world, besides the external stimulus, we need a lot of silence. We need a lot of space to ourselves so that we can regenerate our being. So yes, it has become a very real commodity in today's time. But I do believe it's important to create boundaries and start off with small time. But it's not from an attitude of I won't use my cell phone, but rather from a positive attitude to say I value myself and therefore I will create healthy boundaries for myself. And I think it's about attitude. It's not just about an addiction. If you develop the right attitude towards it, life will support you towards that at a very different level. So I hope that supports your answer. Try it and let us know. Yeah, 1 hour at a time, 2 hours at a time, and you'll see you'll be okay. You'll feel quite secure. Yeah. In life, I've always believed that that which you need to know, somehow life will make sure you get to know it. But the most important method is inside. You need to feel secure. Yes, we need to be vigilant, but at the same time, we need to stay secure. So I hope that answers for you. Yeah?
Indeed, Aniket, I believe that answers your question as well. And what you said was really beautiful, is to start with something which is very little. So it's not like, okay, I'll take a phone detox forever or for 2-3 days together. Probably just start with some time, a little time, and then let's see how it goes. And slowly, slowly, one could increase the time that he or she can try to detox themselves from the addiction, if it is addiction for that matter.
And really, it's an attitude. It's really an attitude, you know. When you go into something with the feeling, Aniki, that I mustn't do this, I shouldn't do that, it's not a healthy entry point. But rather to say, I value myself, I value my time, and these are good, healthy boundaries. So because I value myself, I will give myself space. It's about attitude. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So look forward to it. Let us know how it goes. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much for that answer. Friends, if you have questions, please do not hesitate to ask questions in the comment section of this video. And your questions will be taken up and Deepti Ben will answer our questions for today. And if you think that you don't have a question, if you just want to share how you're feeling today, because that is also very important. So if you just want to give us a shout out, you want to say hi, or if you just want to share anything for that matter, you can always type that in the comment section and we will show those shout outs on the screen as well. And for those of you who think that you have a very private question, which you would not want your name to be disclosed in public, so you could still write those questions at socialmedia@theratebrahmakumaris.com, where we will take in your questions, but we will keep your name private. So you wouldn't have to worry about your name being disclosed. That is also an option that you can always exercise. I'll take up the next question, which comes from Renu. Renu asks this question. She says, how to change others' sensitive nature. Sometimes we know that we see that there is a colleague or a friend or a member in the family who has a sensitive nature, but how do we really change their nature is the question. Renu.
Hello, Renu. I think we all sometimes face somebody like that in our life, and it's like sometimes the feeling that we have to tiptoe around them because their nature may be a very sensitive nature and we don't want to upset them, but at the same time, how do we respond to them in a healthy way that I do not even suppress who I am? And I think that is important. The first thing that I have learned in the Brahma Kumaris, the reality is you can't change anyone. So this is the first thing that is very, very interesting to note. Now, that answer may sound a bit direct. The reality is that people only change when they want to change or when they have a realization to change. But how do I respond to somebody who has that sensitivity and I want to respond to supporting them so that they can change that way? I have learned that the only thing we can really do is be an inspiration. It's like, you know, if you see that this person is very sensitive in their way, then when you become serious with them at that time, Renu, then they also get more serious. And sometimes find their strength. Don't zoom into their weakness. Find their strength and give power to their strength. And make entry point into your journey with them from their strength rather from their sensitivity. And I find that when you make entry point into somebody from their strength, if you can see somebody is a bit sensitive today, Renu, then I just find that instead of addressing them regarding their sensitivity, I would bring up another conversation which would bring up something that is positive and strong within their being. And when you get anybody at their strongest point, you get the best out of them. And that is one thing I've really learned in the Brahma Kumaris, that how you see someone is what they will give you. So if you learn to see the best in someone over a period of time, that's what they offer you. Sometimes we do see that people's nature gets sensitive in that way, or any little thing can upset them. I think it's not about trying to change them, but to provide a secure atmosphere in which they feel comfortable and they feel that, I think in life, everyone needs to feel five things. And this is what I've learned. Everyone in life needs to feel loved. They need to feel understood. They need to feel valued. They need to feel respected. And they need to feel safe. And this is something I've really learned, and it has helped me a lot, that before trying to help somebody else, let me bring these five energies in my own life, feeling loved, understood, valued, respected and safe. And then when I project these energies towards other people, I have seen that even the most sensitive energies, you strengthen their ability. And then they begin to feel safe with you. And it's amazing when people feel safe with you, you get the best out of them. And not to focus on people's weaknesses. You know, it's like you go to the doctor, Renu, and you say to the doctor, I'm so sick. And then the doctor says, oh, yes, you look very sick. And that's it. You even feel more miserable at that time. But when the doctor's response is, no, but you look well, let's see what we need to work with. So the approach, again, is very, very important. If somebody's at their weakest energy, you make entry at your highest energy so that you lift their frequency up to get the best out of them. And, you know, it's lovely. I love to play these games of challenge. And do not become a pleaser. You know, when we look at sensitivity, it's another dimension we have to look at, is that we're not here to please people. Because sometimes, you know, people say, I've pleased so many people in my life, that I'm not me anymore. I've tried to be so much to so many people. So be true to yourself. Be honest. Be sincere. Don't be afraid. Feel very secure within yourself, but always have the aim that I will draw out the best out of the other person. And really, it's a lovely energy. What we see is what we get. I always say to myself, Dipti, what you see in someone, that's what they're going to give you. Yeah? It's a very powerful law of life. What you see is what you get. Yeah.
So you should start seeing good things in others so that you get the same thing in return.
Absolutely. You know, even if they have that sensitive nature, don't focus on their sensitivity, because that may be one character trait, but they've got 9 other character traits that may be strong. So deepen those strong character traits, and that one trait, which is maybe their weak point, you give them the strength to overcome it. Because we can't change people, but we can make them stronger. That's how I've learned. Our daddies, for example, I've really appreciated the input of the Brahma Kumaris. We have daddies, and they've had a beautiful input on my life. And I've seen that over the period of time, no matter what I went to them with, they only saw the best in me. And because they saw the best in me, they drew it out of me. So I've learned it from them, so that I learned the same philosophy of life. Mm-hmm. So good luck. We are all on the same journey, my dear.
I think Renu will get that answer as well, and it is important for us to see the good things that we have inside, and that is what we should see in others as well, and that is what really allows us to, like you said, bring that thing out of you. So thank you so much for that advice, and there are other
friends. I just want to add one thing to that, as you were sharing, that sometimes we focus on 10% of somebody's personality, and that 90% of the diamond, the facets of the diamond, we haven't seen them. We've only seen one facet of that diamond, and that is just 1%. So allow the diamond to shine fully, and you'll see how beautiful that diamond is. But give everyone a chance in life, because everyone is a diamond. Just give them a chance to be one. Yeah.
Indeed. Because what we see is the tip of the iceberg, but there is so much underneath. Sometimes you might not see it, and it is important to see the whole picture. Very beautifully said, Dipti Ben, and I believe our friend Rani will take inspirations from that. I'll move on to the next question. I believe this is the question that Nikita asks us, and I believe it is a question which is very personal to her. Nikita has joined us on YouTube, and she asks this question. She says, Om Shanti Didi, how do I not allow myself to be in a false drama purposefully created by others? I mean, how do I not keep myself prisoner in the illusion of this world, which does not exist, a illusionary world? And she further elaborates her question. She says, I mean, I'm not able to make a choice of my life. Can I choose a relationship that is not working, or do I choose a new life and give divorce to my husband? But if the relationship improves, we feel very calm and relaxed. So she is confused, because at the moment she thinks that she is in a situation where she has been put into, where she is not the cause of the relationship or the situation, and she feels like a prisoner of an illusionary world. And she does not know whether she should choose this, or she should choose on a relationship that does not work, or should she give herself a new life by taking a break from the relationship.
Hello, Nikita. Thank you for sharing your most sensitive question on air, and I respect you for your courage to do that, because it takes courage to look at life and say, what is the best for me to do at this moment? The first thing I'd like to share with you, Nikita, is that, you know, when life provides us with moments like this, one of the things that urgently we feel is that we have to make decisions. But decisions are not healthy if they're coming from an emotional space. I've again learned this, that if I have to make any decision in my life, the first thing I need to do is emotionally be peaceful. Because any decision that we make whilst we are emotionally hurt or disturbed or unsettled, such a decision can never be a sustainable decision. And usually when things affect our emotions so deeply, Nikita, what happens is that there's a part of us that decides, I want to act now, and now I have to make a decision. So my first advice to you, Nikita, is think about decisions, and when there is emotions, then rather first take your time to calm down your own emotions. I know that the word that you use is a very strong word, prisoner. And I'm sure the feelings around this word prisoner may be very loaded in the way you feel. But I just suggest to you that, you know, ultimately, everything that happens in our life, we create and we live with. So I'm not saying that you've created the situation, but what I'm saying is that we have created a space within ourselves where we have the ability to respond to that situation according to our experience. And I think that is very, very important. So my first suggestion to you, Nikita, is just instead of making any decision, say to yourself that for the next short while, maybe a month or two, I'm going to take time to strengthen my own self. You know, if I want to change the drama of my life around me, it's not about changing events, and it's not about changing people, but it's becoming more and more secure and authentic in my true self. And when we internally change, somehow the drama of our life externally responds positively. So instead of thinking, should I do this, or should I move here, or should I do something else? Like the other day, I said to somebody who was in a similar situation, I said, just take some time out. Take out some time, and even though this may sound urgent to you, but rather take some time and nurture yourself. Maybe during this time you've been emotionally so strong, so do some exercise, change your diet, feel healthy and emotionally rejuvenated, focus your attention away from the problem, deepen something in yourself. And it's not running away from the situation, but it's just creating a healthy focus once again. And I find that when your energy inside then is cleared out, when your energy inside is more refocused, then the drama outside changes. So as I'm saying to you, it's not about the decision of whether leaving or staying. That will happen whatever the drama of life will present to you with. But what is more important right now in your journey is that you come at peace with yourself. And you secure yourself in a very, very deep space of being anchored. And as you do that powerfully, you will see that many other things around you change. I think you're a very courageous person, Nikita, that you've taken the courage to look at yourself, but just emotionally create strength within yourself. Become very, very peaceful. Know that you are loved and understood, and don't feel like a prisoner. Because nobody in life is a prisoner. It's an attitude. And just be kind to yourself. Be nurturing to yourself and strengthen who you are in your being, and you'll see life will look after you. We are God's very precious children, and no child is imprisoned. He's made us so powerful. There's a song that goes, which I love so much. You know, they say what? Yeh mat kho khuda se meri mushkile bari hai, mushkilo se keh do mera khuda bara hai. Yeah, I hope you understand my Hindi, but I really love that, because really, even though you have problems in your life, the one that is higher than the problems is the Almighty. And he really provides so much support. Give him the chance and see how that big problem becomes little. It's all about perspective. Yeah? So keep going, Nikita. Yeah. Lot of love and courage and good energy surrounds you, my dear.
Thank you so much, Diti. Then I think that that means a lot to her as well. And it is very beautiful how you said that it is important to strengthen ourselves. And what you said in the last few moments in Hindi, the song that you narrated is about, it's all about that. Do not say that your problems are bigger. You say that you have a God who is bigger than those problems, who's there to help. And for all of us to remind that the Almighty is with us, and there's a higher source, the divine, that is there with us all the time, who is there to help. And we can always look forward to the support from the divine. Before I take on to the next questions, I'm pretty sure Lisa has a question for us, and she has joined us on Facebook. Before I read out the question to you, to all other friends who are watching the show live, if you want to ask questions, friends, you can always type in your questions in the comment section of this video. And whether it's on YouTube or Facebook, we'll take those comments take the questions from there and show it here. And we'll take questions to Sister Dikti. At the same time, if you think that you want to give us a shout out, or if you just want to say something like how you're feeling at the moment, or anything for that matter, if you just want to say, you can always do that. And you can type that in and send it in the comment section of this video. Lisa has a question for us, and I'll take Lisa's question. Lisa has joined us on Facebook, and she says, Didi, when I do meditation and take affirmations in the morning, I feel so good at that time. But later, as the day goes by, I forget all the affirmations I took. How can I remain in the same state as in the morning? I believe this happens to many morning people. I mean, people who start their day early on. They start with very good positive affirmations, meditation, exercise, and whatnot. And as the day goes by, their energy tends to go lower and lower. And by the end of the day, they feel, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lisa. I think we've all been on this journey, and we've had to find ways to deepen that space. So, firstly, wonderful that you are making the effort to make your morning powerful. I think that's the first good step you've taken. I really believe that when people start their mornings powerfully,
I believe your microphone is in the mute. So I would just want you to recheck if you could just unmute yourself.
No, it's not.
It is not? Okay. Let me try to set that up with the technical team, I believe, because I'm not able to hear you, and I believe none of our friends would be able to hear you as well. So that was the question that came in from Lisa. And whilst we set this up, in the meanwhile, you can try saying something.
I can hear you very well. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
I believe there is a technical issue. We'll try to re-log in again. Sister Diti, if you could just refresh your browser, I mean that could help you to get back on the connection. In the meanwhile, friends, there are certain instructions that I would like to read out to you. Like I was mentioning earlier, if there are questions that you would want to ask us, you can always do that on the comment section of this video as well, either on Facebook or on YouTube or any other platforms that you're watching this program. Some of our friends have also asked about meditation and for a regular program on meditation. Sister Diti is back, so we'll continue with Diti. Welcome back, Sister Diti.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, it is better. I will take up Lisa's question. So Lisa's question was about being the morning person and how we start the morning with positive affirmation, but as the day progresses slowly, we forget about the affirmations that we took. How can we remain in the same state as in the morning, Lisa?
Sure. So, thank you, Lisa. You can hear me better now, Brother Srinethi? Yeah?
Okay. Yes.
So, we see how, yes, the morning time is a very, very powerful time. And when you, whatever you start in the morning, echoes actually during your day. So for myself, as a yogi, I've really experienced that if I really want to make an investment, my investment is in the morning time. And from the time I get up in the morning, which is nice and early, I enjoy the early mornings, until at least 8 o'clock in the morning, it's my time. I make that time incredibly powerful from the time I get up till at least 8 o'clock, where I do everything to nurture myself. But then what is important is that you then keep your space in such a way that every hour, we have something very beautiful in the Brahma Kumaris, which is called traffic control. And on the hour, what we do is we take a minute to slow down and recenter ourselves. So in the morning, I study, and then I take out at least a few points from my morning studies, which mean a lot to me. And I try every hour, on the hour, to give focus to those points. And I try to deepen the feelings of that point. And I think that is an important aspect. So that sometimes, you know, 9 o'clock you start something, 10 o'clock it's okay, 11 o'clock you've got a phone call and you forgot something by then, 12 o'clock you totally forgot about it. So these things do happen in that way. But when you are able to just find a strategy to keep it going for yourself. I know one of our daddies, Daddy Gulzar, used to always say that every time when you drink a glass of water, then during that time that you're drinking the water, say to yourself, that which I value, I will affirm to myself. Or every time I'm going past your coffee station or something, if you're at work, then say to yourself that I will do this. Or if you are in the office, find a place where you can write few of these affirmations on your board or something so that they remind you. Because the day has a method to really take over us at a very, very powerful way. So when we are able to stay centered like that, and then midday, I find about 1:30, I take about 15 minutes every day, like you'd have a lunch break or something, and I reassess my day. Because it's important, you can start off with good intention, but as your day goes by, sometimes your day is taken over. So I take 15 minutes during the daytime to just reassess what I value. And at night, when I do my evening meditation, I still keep the thread from the morning going. And what I do at night before I go to sleep is I keep a journal. And in the journal, I write, and I love the journal. It has really helped my growth. And so at night, I review my day, and I reassess my day. And I my way of writing a journal is I write a letter to God every night. And I love doing that. And I find so that which I started off in the morning, I'm able to carry it out through the day. So find strategies to support yourself. Whether what we do, like, there are many apps these days on the phone that you can have. Don't get addicted to your phone, like the first question. But there are many apps in the day that you can use that will give you just a minute to go into silence and recenter yourself for what is important. So find strategies. When you drink your water, when you have traffic control, when you put a certain note in your room in a certain way, so that you get reminded over and over. Okay, Lisa? I hope that answers your question.
Indeed, thank you so much. And it is important for us to take these small meditation breaks during the day. And that indeed helps a great deal. And like you mentioned about traffic control, that would also be very helpful for many of our friends. From YouTube, we have another viewer who is watching this program on YouTube, and his name is Nishil. Nishil asks this question: How can I know that I'm doing right karma or wrong karma? He's a young friend of ours, and this question is interesting because sometimes we don't know what we're doing is really right karma or is it wrong karma?
Hello, Nishil. I think one of the most beautiful things first is that you are reflective about your life. I think many people go through life without being reflective enough. They just let life carry on. And then the fact that you've asked the question is a very beautiful insight from your side, that you have really taken the time to reevaluate your life and look inside yourself and done some reflection as to the destiny that your life holds for you and whether an action is good or an action is not good. Now, when we look at whether actions are good or whether we call them so-called bad actions, sometimes it can be in context. Because in certain cultures, in certain backgrounds, something may be regarded as good, but in another culture, in another background, in another history, that same action may not have the same context. So if we look at good and bad in that terms, then something that may be good for one person may not necessarily be seen as good for another person. But one thing for me that has really helped me is when I learned the first lesson at the Brahma Kumaris, that I'm a soul. And I learned within the energy of knowing that I'm a soul, that my real qualities are peace and love and purity and joy and spiritual power. So these are my true qualities that I am. So I find that when I perform actions, and if my actions resonate with these original qualities of who I am, then I feel confident in myself that what I'm doing is good for me. So if I'm doing something and it leaves behind a residue of beautiful peace inside of me, then I know that this action is good for me. Or if that action deepened a quality of love inside of me, then that means that I have nourished a good act. Or if that action has brought deep inner joy inside of me, then I know that it's from a good space. But I'm sure you've had an experience, because this is how I've taught myself. If after I've performed an act and if my mind is still racing and I'm not settled and that thought comes over and over again, then I stop for a moment and I say, wait a minute, Dipti, I'm not sure if that act that you perform was actually a pure act. Because any act which is a pure and good act will set you free. It will make your conscience peaceful. But an act that has worked against your conscience will never allow your conscience, like your Vivek, that Vivek part of you doesn't settle if you haven't performed something that is in line with who you are. So for me, the barometer is really just to check deep inside myself and ask myself, whatever I'm doing, is it deeply bringing peace? Is it deeply bringing joy? And any action that I'm doing should not be at the cost of another human being or another situation. It's very, very important. If an action is a good action, it has to have a win-win situation. It doesn't mean that my good action creates a loss for you. If my good action is creating a loss for you, then there's something in that, because I may be happy, wow, I've done something good. But if my action has created any form of loss for you or has created a deep disturbance in your journey, then there's something that's not altruistic about that good action. So firstly, it has to have a resonance with your own qualities. And secondly, what has to be good for you should leave the other person also in a good space. And I've seen this also from our seniors that I have learned from, that they may have actioned a lot of energies of truth, but in their actioning of their truth, somehow each side was a winner. There's never one side a winner and one side a loser. Because in spirituality, there's never a winner and a loser. In spirituality is that people are left with the right residue, and that's the residue of peace purity, love, inner joy, and spiritual power. If I'm left with these qualities, then I have performed a good action. But thank you so much for reflecting on your life like that. I think it's very lovely that people become introspective rather than allowing life to just take over. Thank you so much. Yeah. Great question.
Thank you, Nishil. I believe that answers your question as well. And there's a lot of appreciation that also has come in that most of us have become reflective over the past few months. And it is interesting and it is indeed good that we have done this kind of work on ourselves. Moving on to the next question, one of our friends has this question, Mamta Gupta. And Mamta asks this question. She says, want to live in 100% positive atmosphere, but how? I believe this is just a shout out that she also has to give. She says that everybody likes to live in a positive atmosphere, to be in a positive surrounding. But how do we do that? Is the question what Mamta has to ask.
Hello, Mamta. Yes, I think how we create our life, I always say what you create, you are the first person who lives in it. Whatever you create in your life, it's not other people, but you are the first person who lives in that. So if you create, for example, some people are just angry or they're just upset. Even if you get angry with the world, the first person who's experiencing the anger is you. So you're creating first a loss for yourself. So similarly, when I look at the intention to create a positive atmosphere, Mamta, that's very lovely. Because if you have the desire to create a positive atmosphere, you are the first person who will benefit from that. And I find that our life is really that space in which we can generate. We are vibrating beings. We are generating beings. And whatever we create, we vibrate. So if I'm creating ordinary thoughts in my life becomes ordinary. If I'm creating negative thoughts in my life becomes negative. So in order to create a positive atmosphere around me, I first need to find within myself a reservoir of the most positive thoughts. And so again, the question that comes is, what is a positive thought? And a positive thought is that which has a nurtured energy of peace, love, purity, and goodness within it. And so, again, I find that you can only create a positive atmosphere around you when you first create that positive atmosphere inside of you. So I find one thing that's very beautiful is that in the morning when I meditate, I first aim to generate these energies in myself. And if I can't do it all by myself, I call upon God's energy and I call upon God's peace and God's love and God's beautiful energy to surround me. So first thing in the morning, I energize myself with that beautiful energy. And that's a very, very nice feeling to have. And then when you create that energy, you must vibrate that energy. So vibrate that energy in your home. So let us say you're meditating in the morning. I find I first vibrate. You know how when they do aarti, after they do the aarti, they allow the vibrations of that aarti to go into the whole home. Similarly, your vibrations are those good vibrations. You've connected with yourself. You've connected with God. And then you vibrate that energy into your home. Feel your whole home being illuminated by light and pure energy. You know, when we're doing positive work like this, it doesn't have to be advertised. It has to be felt. Like you can light an incense stick in one corner of your room, or you can light a lovely scented candle in one corner of your room, but the scent will reach the whole room. Similarly, vibrate this good energies throughout the home and create that feeling of light and good energy. Bring God's purest energy into that space. And the more and more you do that in that way, you'll find that over a period of time, the vibrations change. Even if you are working, for example, and you want to create a positive atmosphere in your work environment, or you are in meetings that are really hectic and people have many ego struggles and all of these things, which are realities in today's world, in the morning, vibrate the energy to that peaceful meeting. Vibrate that energy that your office is peaceful and calm. Visualize it, see it, feel it, so that before you even enter into that space, you have created an atmosphere. And you know what, my dear Mamta? Magic begins. I've seen it. When there are places where that are very complex, before I enter that scene, I just vibrate good energy. Like, you know, in the West, they say, pump out the good energy. So just keep vibrating that good energy out in the world and in your surrounding or in your home if there's conflict or whatever it may be. Just keep vibrating it. And people who walk into it will walk into something very different. And that's the beauty of this life. We don't have to say much. We don't have to advertise our goodness. Just live it so powerfully that when people walk in our midst, they feel, hang on, there's something different here. And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Yes.
Indeed.
So enjoy the game. Play these games, Mamta. It's good for you. Yeah.
And I believe many people feel that those vibrations when they walk into certain places, when they certainly walk into a different place, they're coming for the first time and they feel that, wow, this feels so light, energetic. How have people done this here? And it's just the people around who have created those kind of things. Thank you so much. And I believe many people have experienced it. And it's just that now they are in the frame where they would create that kind of environments with just the way that they think, how would they pump in that energy inside. Dithiben, we would take the next question, which comes from Jagannath Prasad. Jagannath has joined us on Facebook and he asks this question. He says, Om Shanti Didi, I am a new follower of the Brahma Kumaris since last 1 year and I am at peace with myself. For COVID-19, me and my family are staying at different places. Sometimes I miss them, including my children. Any suggestions, please, is what Jagannath asks. I believe it might be true for him, but many of our friends would be facing a similar kind of situation where they would not be seeing their family members for months now that they have not been able to do that. So what would you like to suggest to them, Jagannath?
Thank you. Thank you, my brother Jagannath. I like your name very much. Yeah? Jagannath. It's a very, very powerful name, isn't it? Yeah? The Lord of the world. Isn't it, Jagannath? Is that what it means? It's
yes.
Beautiful. That's a lovely name. Thank you. And secondly, welcome. Welcome very much. You know, when we turn to our own spirituality, it's like we turn back to, it's like we come home again. So welcome home. When we come back to our true self, it's we come back home. So enjoy the power and the beauty of feeling that you are home once again. And I think this is a very, very important feeling. And, you know, I'm sure that you are finding a lot of nourishment in your own personal journey through this. But whilst you are on this journey, I know that with this COVID-19, one of the things that has really happened out there is that people may have been separated by their families during this time. You know, sometimes we can be physically separated, but as beings of energy, as souls, we are always connected, you know. There's no time and space between soulful energy. There's time and space between bodily energies. So maybe as bodies, one may be in one part of the world and one may be in another part of the world. But as souls, which you learned in the course that you've done, we can actually be wherever you want to. So firstly, do not create distance in your mind. Because one of the first beliefs that holds us back is we feel the distance in our mind. and we think, oh, I'm so separated from my children. Yes, it may be a physical reality, but every day with a lot of love, you can surround your children with a lot of good energy. You can surround your family with a good energy, because vibrations and thoughts are not limited to time and space. If you think certain thoughts powerfully, those thoughts will reach where they need to reach. And even if somebody is in the far end of the world, they will feel your energy. Sometimes the blockage comes in a belief system that I'm so far away from you. I do acknowledge that that may be a feeling. But today, most of the time, the greater barrier is the belief system of our mind. So take time, and if it is possible, again, without addiction to the phone, if it's possible, try to connect with your children and your family today in the many ways that we do. Today there's WhatsApp videos and there's all the ways that we can connect. But more powerfully than that, as a family, maybe you can encourage your children and your family to sit at a certain time, and you all sit together, no matter where you are, and you hold the same energy together. And so even if your children may be far away from you, your family's far away from you, you say to yourself that every night, maybe between 7 and 7:30, we're all going to sit together. And whether you play a guided meditation, or if your family hasn't learned to meditate yet, you create some beautiful surrounding that you all connect to, and you sit together, and you create the pure energy together. And even though you may be physically far away from each other, you will actually feel the closeness. Because as beings of energy, no time and no space can create difference. The difference is only when we think we are bodies. I mean, I love India very much, and this year with the COVID, I know that soon it's our time to come to India, and I have no idea what the drama of life holds. But every day, without fail, every day, I go to our headquarters with my mind, and I go to the Tower of Peace and our meditation hut and the meditation room. I go there every day, and I feel the power. I feel the power, and therefore I know that the only difference is physical space. But the heart can be wherever it wants to. But maybe make a plan with your family that even if it's 15, 20 minutes every day, you'll sit together and create the same similar energy together. And you'll see the closeness your family will feel. And you will feel. You'll feel good. But welcome home. Coming back to your spirituality, Jagatnath, is coming back home. Coming back to yourself. And coming back to the one who's always looked for you for a long, long time, that a long lost and now found child of God. So welcome home, child. Yeah, that's how God would have called you, Jagatnath. So welcome home, my brother.
Thank you very much. That was indeed very loving and very kind that you said. And a few things that I really liked very much about was, it does not matter where you are. If your heart can go to that place, you can always relive and you can take energy from that. And some of us might be separated by distance physically. We might not go there, but it is important to create that space of being together, maybe half an hour just sitting together, meditating together. And we as beings of energy is what you said, which is really something new. To just understand and resonate with that idea that I am a being of energy makes so much difference. And many of our friends have appreciated that. I believe we have already come to 55 minutes. And before I leave, I would take last question for the day, even though there are several questions which I would not be able to take today. But it has been a very lovely conversation that I've been having, Sister Deepthi. Avatar Aurora is the person who is asking the next question, who has joined us on Facebook. Avatar asks this question. He says, how to avoid negative emotions when injustice is done to you deliberately by some powerful persons? That is the question that Avatar has.
Hello, Avatar. Again, I'm just so touched by all the names that I'm seeing. Jagatnath and then Avatar. They are such nice names, yeah? So, again, when I heard your name, Avatar, I was thinking incarnation. Incarnation of what? And I just somehow felt you as an incarnation of peace. Incarnation of good energy, yeah? And so, again, when there are negative situations that come and negative emotions that come out of injustice, always to remember that one negative energy cannot destroy another negative energy. It's a simple law of life that if one person is negative or there's injustice, I do not have to drop my frequency because of that situation or that person. It is a sign of weakness to drop yourself, but it's a sign of strength of knowing who you are, who you belong to, and why you are here. Daddy Jenki, our senior daddy who lived this year till 104 years, she taught me very much. But three questions she always reminded me was, who am I, who do I belong to, and why am I here? And when we understand these questions of who am I, who I belong to, and why am I here at this time, then I do not allow myself to get deeply affected by the negativity and the injustice of other people or situations, because then I lose my purpose for why I am here. And the more and more I see the negativity and the injustice in the world, for me, it strengthens me to say, what is it that life wants me to be? What does life want me to hold at this moment? So our life mustn't be a reactive journey to the external stimulus, but our life has to be a responsive journey from the understanding of truth. And I think that is the critical aspect. Am I responding out of truth, or am I reacting out of external stimulus? And a sign of a powerful person is they respond out of truth. So Avatar, I give a lot of power to your name. And I say to yourself today after this question, ask yourself, what Avatar are you? Are you an Avatar of peace? Are you an Avatar of love? Are you an Avatar of spiritual power? Step into who you really are and heighten your own frequency, and you will see the world will not be able to love you. I always ask myself at the end of the day, Dipti, did you love your day today, or did your day love you? And if your day is lived by people and situations, it's a dangerous place to be. But if you've lived your life, you've developed mastery. And that is what Raj Yoga is, developing self-mastery, where I stay connected to me, I stay connected to God, and I become a gift to the world. And that's why we are here. To be true to ourselves, to connect with the highest source, and that our very life becomes a gift to the world. So be an avatar of peace. Be an avatar of love. So that people wonder, what happened, Avatar? You are such a different person. What happened? And that's the beauty of this journey. Do not let anything stop you in life. We are much more powerful than any injustice in the world. It will happen. It's the end of Kali Yuga. But we don't have to be a victim of it. Never, ever. Okay, Avatar?
I believe that very beautifully sums up what we have been listening to today, that we should be a gift to the world. And if we come to that understanding, then probably I would not think about what people are doing to me, what people are saying about me, but I would be this being who would resonate energy and give out things of peace, of love, of spiritual power, like everything that you said. And I believe most of our friends today have responded to everything that you have said and everything that they have liked, they have typed in the comments section. And many of that has been shown on the screen as well. This shows that how much they have enjoyed listening to you and talking to you for that matter, even though I've just been a moderator putting their questions across. I have enjoyed this talk as well. And friends, it's almost an hour now, and we have overshot our time, but we'll still have some time for meditation. We'll take the next 3-4 minutes for meditation. But I would like to end with a small question that is about meditation. Manjula asks this question, that how to meditate without a commentary. Sometimes people also ask this question, that is it important that I should listen to somebody speaking out thoughts to me, or should I create them out of my own? So Manjula has this question, I believe. With that question, we would close, and probably you should, you can tell us, Sister Deepthi, about how we could create our own positive thoughts whilst we meditate. On that note, friends, I would sign off at the moment, and there are so many wonderful feedbacks and questions that you have asked that I will not be able to share. Of course, you will see the comments and your feedbacks on the screen whilst we meditate, but the questions will be taken up for tomorrow. Thank you for such loving feedbacks and for putting in all of those questions. And it is indeed a pleasure to listen to all of you putting all of those questions across to us. And from all of your behalf, I would like to thank Sister Deepthi, who joined us all the way from South Africa. And today, South Africa celebrates Women's Day in South Africa. So a happy Women's Day to you, Sister Deepthi.
Thank you. Thank you. We are
thank
all
you so
Shakti.
Much for joining in.
Yeah, lovely. So I just want to say to Manjula that just to understand that in the beginning we do need help, because they help to nurture us. It's like a child that's learning to walk. Sometimes the parents have to buy a walking ring, and then the child learns to walk with a walking ring. But then once the child outgrows the walking ring, it can walk by itself. So in the beginning, you can use the guided meditation to support you. But then over a period of time, you realize that you have such a treasure store of the most beautiful thoughts inside of you. And as you keep practicing, meditation requires practice and love. Like our morning said today, our deepest energy we need is love. So when there's love and practice, then we are able to create beautiful spaces. So once again, allow yourself to sit very comfortably. Just allow your energies to become still and silent. And take a few moments to go within. And as you go inside yourself, and you center yourself to the very essence of who you are, I, as a being of light, a beautiful source of pure energy, I have this body through which I express my life's journey, but I am light. I am pure energy. I am peace. Deep within myself, I hold the reservoir of the most beautiful energies. I activate those energies from within my being. And as I hold this energy, with the power of my mind, and with a deep state of love, I connect to the highest source of all goodness, all light, all power. Yehi Atma Paramatma Kamilan. I step into my power and I draw power from the highest source. I allow myself to be enveloped by pure light, by pure energy. This is a light of love that knows me, understands me, and accepts me for who I am. I absorb God's purest light and might into my being. The soul begins to feel energized with its most innate qualities once again. And then gently, I bring my back self back to this moment in the here and now, but knowing that I am a being who is loved, understood, valued, respected and safe, for I am in God's purest energy. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om.